Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It's terrific Tuesday, March 11, 2014. Yes, my friends, another great day to be alive. Yes, my friends, another great day to be dreaming. Yes, my friends, another great day to be opening our minds, opening our hearts, opening our souls, opening our ears, soaking up information that can condition us to be able to move forward in the most powerful way that we can possibly move forward. You know, while I was listening to the intros to the call, I jumped in our Facebook group, our Think and Grow Rich Facebook group, where I love just going in there and reading from time to time. You know, my friends, how rare is it that you have a Facebook group where people are not always selling you and pitching you and syndicating their blog posts and trying to promote something, right? That's pretty rare, right? How rare is it to have a conference call where you can get on the line and share inspiration and training and value where you're not going to be pitched on stuff all the time, right? That's what we've got on this Think and Grow Rich call. That's what we've got in our Think and Grow Rich group. That's what we've got in our Think and Grow Rich family, and I love it, right? It's something rare. It's something unique. I love being a part of it. I get a lot of value from it, and this morning I was in our Facebook group, and Karen Rudolph, she posted something profound, right? Posted something profound. Karen's a longtime Think and Grow Rich practitioner, family member. She's been with us for quite a while. Had an opportunity to meet Karen at an event over in San Diego. Karen, you are awesome, my friend. This is what Karen wrote. She wrote, "Blood makes you related. Loyalty makes you family." Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. Blood makes you related. Loyalty makes you family. What is loyalty, right? What is loyalty? Dr. Napoleon Hill, in his 6 criteria for evaluating people that we've talked about from time to time over the last week or so on this call, that you can learn when you decide to go, you know, whip out $5.99 from your credit card or your debit card on Amazon and get these audios. You know, number one, he's got these 6 list of criteria, and number one is loyalty, right? Number one is loyalty. That word loyalty must carry a lot of weight, right? That word loyalty must be worthy of some consideration. That word loyalty must be worthy of some pondering, right? To think, what does it mean to be loyal? What does it mean to have a loyal leader? What does it mean to have a loyal team, right? What does it mean to have a loyal group of people that gather together Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific, every day, Monday through Friday, for over 3 years, right? What are we loyal to? You know, I was watching a movie this last weekend with my wife. You know, we've got this cool LG high-definition 3D TV, and my wife picked up this Blu-ray DVD disc player. We don't watch a ton of TV, but every once in a while, I love to be entertained just as much as the next guy or gal, and I was thinking to myself on Saturday night, I'd actually taken my kids to the play center, and they were having a great time playing, and, you know, it was about their bedtime, so I was like, I need to pick up a movie. So I swung by the little rental place, and I picked up a movie, and the movie was Fast and Furious 6, right, about these, you know, these guys and gals who drive these super fast cars, and I grabbed the Blu-ray edition. I was like, oh, this is going to be so awesome. I'm like, TV, right? So I got home, got the kids to bed, and we're watching this movie, and there's a point in the movie where the main character comes up against the main bad guy, right? And they're in this parking lot, and they've met, you know, out in this deserted parking lot, and the bad guy is talking to the good guy, and the bad guy's telling the good guy, he's like, you know, when I was a kid, my brother, he told me that, he says, every person, every man needs to have a creed, something to live by. And he goes on to talk to the main character, and he's like, my creed is efficiency, right? This is the bad guy talking. He's like, my creed is efficiency. I'm here to utilize my team. My team is, you know, just members of parts of a machine, and once they're utilized for their purpose, you know, if they get eliminated, so what? That's my creed. And then he's talking to the main character, it's Vin Diesel, I think, who is the main character, and he's telling this main character, he's like, now your creed is family, and he's like, and that's your weakness, right? Your creed is family, and that makes you predictable, that makes you exploitable, right? And he's just talking about, you know, how you got to have a creed, and then, you know, at the end of the little conversation, the bad guy says, well, at least you have a creed. He's like, most people don't even have a creed. At least you have a creed. And I just thought about that, right? Simple little exchange of words between a bad guy and a good guy, right? The good guy's creed is family. And, you know, Karen shares this quote, loyalty makes you family. And it just got me thinking about having a creed, having something that you live by, having something that you're loyal to, having a set of principles that you will not deviate from, right? And it's one of the things that I think unites us on this Think and Grow Rich call, and is this Think and Grow Rich family, is we all either have a creed or we're working on developing a creed, a personal set of philosophies, a personal set of principles that we stick our flag in the ground and say, we will not be moved from this creed. This is where we stand, right? And we share, right? We share a common creed in this information that we study that Dr. Napoleon Hill's laid down for us. Definite major purpose, right? Persistence, having a plan, reminding ourselves on a daily basis where we're going, being clear on what we want, building a white hot burning desire. You know, like this morning I woke up and I stumbled over to my computer and I pulled up a document and I started to write down a list of things that I wanted to have, things that I wanted to do, places that I wanted to go, right? We talked a little bit about this a couple of weeks ago. Jim Rohn's talking about building your desires. He says your goals and your desires have an effect on you, right? And we know from studying Think and Grow Rich, we've got to have desires to propel us forward. So this is part of our creed, right? Always working on our desires, always knowing what it is that we want, always being motivated to continue on and move forward and impact the world in ways that we can impact the world, right? Never getting to a point where we just say, you know, hey, I've arrived and I'm ready to just, you know, kind of kick back and, you know, use the word that the world uses, retire, right? What word is that? And how many people do you know who have retired, right, quote unquote retired, and it seems like, right, unfortunate and tragic as it is, it seems like, you know, they quickly go downhill, right? When they stop doing things, when they stop having a dream, when they stop having reasons to get up and provide value to the people around them, right? So when we talk about retirement in the home business profession, at least my personal opinion is you have enough money that you don't have to work, and the reason you work is because you want to work. It doesn't mean you don't work, right? It means you work because you want to work. It means getting up in the morning and getting on a conference call you want to do, because the things that you might say on that call can have an impact on somebody who maybe picks up the phone and dials into the call for the first time and just so happens to be down on their luck, just so happens to be living in a storage unit, like one of our Think and Grow Rich family members that started dialing in a couple of years ago, a guy from Shelley, Idaho, about 5 miles from where I live. Imagine that. Found this call on the internet, lives 5 miles from me, and the guy's living in a storage unit, right, when he starts dialing into this call. And he heard something. He heard maybe a little piece of truth that rang true to him. He continued to get on the call, and, you know, his situation got better, right? That's what can happen when you work because you want to. That's what can happen when you work because you have a dream. That's what can happen when you work because you love people, right? And we all do, and that's why we're here. It's another thing that unites us as part of this Think and Grow Rich family. We're loyal, right? We're loyal to our creed. We're loyal to living a life of greatness. We're loyal to never, ever quitting, right? Never, ever quitting. We're loyal to the fact that, you know, we, like Super Duper Stan says, I'd rather die with the integrity of having fought for my dreams than live with the disgrace of looking in the mirror at a quitter, right? We're loyal to never being a quitter. We understand that Dr. Napoleon Hill says in Think and Grow Rich, a winner never quits and a quitter never wins. That's part of our creed, my friends. That's part of what we're loyal to. It's part of what unites us, right? Understanding that there are things in life that are worth fighting for no matter how long it takes. Understanding that the ground is no place for a champion, like Patrick Action Jackson likes to tell us from time to time, right? These are the things that unite us, my friends. We have a creed. I have a creed. I'm proud of my creed, and I'm excited to continue to work to develop it. I'm excited to continue to work to help other people decide that they too can have a creed. You know, people get on this call sometimes, they never even thought about me. You know, what do I believe? And, you know, I can actually decide what I believe. And, you know, I can actually read books and listen to audios and and sort and sift and find the good things and put that in my creed, right? And isn't it an amazing thing, my friends, that we can help people to have a creed and have a passion for life? It's one of the things that excites me, my friends. I want to know, does it excite you? I want to go ahead and open up the lines. You know, I think we got hundreds of people on this call. Hundreds of people. My friends, if you're excited to be alive, and not only are you excited to be alive, but you're excited to be really alive, right? You're not excited to just be alive and walking around, you know, kind of like a walking zombie, never thinking about things, never having a creed, never having a passion for life, never having a fire in your belly. That ain't living, right? That ain't what we do. We get on this call because we love life, and we understand that life is meant to be lived, and part of living it fully is having a creed. And that's one of the things that we work on this call, is developing our own creed, developing our philosophy, developing the set of the sail, like Jim Rohn said, right? The creed, the philosophy, the set of the sail, the mindset, whatever it is you want to call it, that's what we work on this call, developing that personal creed that's going to fuel our fire and get us to where we need to be, get us to where we are destined to be in life. My friends, if that pumps you up, I want to hear you scream as I unmute the lines right now. Sounds like you guys have a creed. Sounds like you guys are pumped up and excited for life. So, guys, thank you for that. Truly appreciate your excitement, your energy, enthusiasm. It really feeds the souls of all of the people who dial into this call on a daily basis to be fed. And for that, I thank you. I appreciate you for that. I love you for that. My friends, we're on a great mission here, I think. You know, I really feel that there's a lot of people in the world that need the message that we have to share, right? Need the message we have to share. So, my friends, hey, before I jump into the content, we have regularly scheduled content that we go through, right, to develop our creed. Just a quick little thought that I thought of this morning. You know, I woke up this morning and I was like, oh man, I'm getting a little bit of a cold, right? Started to feel this little bit of a cold coming on, and it was like 15 after 5 a.m. here in Blackfoot, Idaho, where I live, and I got out of bed, and I was like, oh man, I'm not feeling the best, and I thought about my workout that's supposed to be starting at 5:50 a.m. And I started to think, maybe I ought to just cancel it, right? Maybe I ought to, you know, I'm not feeling the best. Maybe it's not best to, you know, push my body when I feel this cold coming on. And for whatever reason, I decided to go ahead and go through the workout. I went through the workout, and it wasn't easy, right? It wasn't easy, and I probably didn't do the best that I could have done when I'm at my peak state. You know what, I showed up and I did the workout and I got it done and I was like, man, I'm glad I did the workout, right? I'm glad I did the workout. And it caused me to think as I was driving home from the gym, I was like, you know, I'm glad I did it. There's a great lesson here. You know, I've heard that successful people are willing to do the things that they know they need to do even when they don't feel like doing them. And isn't that the truth? And just me going through that little activity with myself this morning, I was like, Paul, that's a good example, right? You can use that in the other parts of your life. You can use that in the other parts of your business, because the truth is, my friend, sometimes we don't feel like doing our business, right? Sometimes we don't feel like, you know, doing the things we know we need to do. Sometimes we don't feel like, you know, going out and generating another lead. Sometimes we don't feel like going out and talking to another prospect. Sometimes we don't feel like getting on a call and you know, dumping our heart into the line, right? Sometimes we just don't feel like it. But you know what? We've got to learn to make ourselves do the things that we know we need to do even when we don't feel like doing them. It seems that that's a commonality. Seems that that's a commonality of successful people, right? Seems that that's a commonality. You know what gets in our way of doing the things we know we need to do? It's excuses, right? It's excuses. Excuses. Oh, I'm not feeling well. Maybe I should cancel my workout, right? Excuses. My friends, excuses will always be there, right? They will always be there. It's another thing I was thinking about this morning. Excuses will always be there. At every step of your journey, no matter how much money you've made or not made yet, excuses will always be there for you to utilize if you want to use them, right? In the first part of my business, you know, when I was working my business, oh, I got a job, right? I got to work 8 hours a day, and I only got a little bit of time to work my business, right? Excuse, oh, I don't have much money. I'm living in a single-wide trailer house, right? I don't have much money to work my business, right? Excuses. Excuses were there, right? Excuses were there for me to use. And I used some, right? For a while, I used some. Finally, I learned how to overcome some of those excuses enough that I was able to go and achieve some success in the marketplace, which I'm very grateful and very blessed for. But you know what's interesting? You know what's interesting? The excuses are still there for me to utilize, right? I used to think, hey, when I'm full-time in my business, all the excuses will be gone. I won't have a job. I won't have a boss. I'll have money. I'll have time. But you know what? There's still excuses there for me to use if I want to, right? There's still excuses. Oh, I got 4 kids. And, I'm working in my office, and sometimes one of my kids will come in and interrupt me. And, oh, I can't be focused because, I promise myself that I only work a certain amount of hours every day, so I don't have as much time as, other people who don't have kids that are willing to work. Excuses, right? Nothing more than excuses, and they're always there. They're never going to go away, right? So, my friends, let's learn how to kick excuses in the face, kick them to the curb, and just learn to do what we know we need to do, even when we don't feel like doing it. And part of that is building that desire, right? Like we talked about this morning a little bit. Make that goal list, right? What do you really want? Build that fire, my friends, and get out there today and do what you know you need to do. So that was just a quick little thought I wanted to share. Let's go ahead and jump into our regularly scheduled content. You know, we've got regularly scheduled content that we go through. We study the writings and the works of Dr. Napoleon Hill, who, just in case you don't know, such a unique story, Dr. Napoleon Hill, isn't it? Right? Such a unique story. This is not a guy who said to himself, hey, I'm going to go write a book because I want to make a lot of money. This is not a guy who said, hey, I'm going to go become a professional public speaker because I know there's a lot of money in speaking. This is not a guy who said, hey, I'm just going to go start talking about success because that's what everyone wants to hear, and I know I can make a lot of money talking about success, right? This is not that guy, right? This is not that guy. This is a guy who was personally recruited by the wealthiest man on planet Earth, Andrew Carnegie, who recruited Napoleon Hill and said, listen, are you willing to devote 25 years of your life without pay, because I want to introduce you to some of my inner circle. I want to introduce you to some of my network, which just so happens to be the wealthiest people on planet Earth. And what I'd like you to do in this 25 years of research is I would like you to analyze, organize, and record the commonalities, the philosophies, the principles, the laws of success, right? And Dr. Napoleon Hill was up for the challenge. He took it, and he did it. 25 years of research without pay to finally bring this law of success forth, right? Interviewing the most successful people on planet Earth. So when I think about people to study, when I think about, who has the answers to how do you develop a successful mindset, when I think about who has the right material, right, he's not the only one, right? But gosh, sure seems like he's the granddaddy, right? Sure seems like he's the guy that started to lay it all down in organized form, and that's who we study on this call. It's part of our creed, right? Part of our creed. We study this philosophy of success. So, my friends, let's continue on in our mission and study this stuff. We are in Chapter 11 of the book Think and Grow Rich, which just so happens to have a very interesting title. It's called The Mystery of Sex Transmutation, and we are in the section where Dr. Napoleon Hill is pointing out the interesting fact about how men, in particular, seldom succeed before 40, right? And he says he discovered from analyzing over 25,000 people that people who succeed in an outstanding way seldom do so before the age of 40, right? So here's what Dr. Napoleon Hill writes. The lives of many, up to and sometimes well past the age of 40, reflect the continued dissipation of energies, which could have been more profitably turned into better channels. Their finer and more powerful emotions are sown wildly into the four winds. Out of this habit of the male grew the term, sowing his wild oats. The desire for sexual expression is by far the strongest and most impelling of all the human emotions. And for this reason, this desire, when harnessed and transmuted into action, other than that of physical expression, may raise one to the status of a genius. One of America's most able businessmen frankly admitted that his attractive secretary was responsible for most of the plans he created. He admitted that her presence lifted him to heights of creative imagination, such as he could experience under no other stimulus. One of the most successful men in America who owes most of his success to the influence of a very charming young woman who has served as his source of inspiration for more than 12 years. Everyone knows the man to whom this reference is made, but not everyone knows the real source of his achievements. History is not lacking in examples of men who attain to the status of genii as the result of the use of artificial mind stimulants in the form of alcohol and narcotics. Edgar Allan Poe wrote The Raven while under the influence of liquor, quote, dreaming dreams that mortal never dared to dream before, close quote. James Whitcomb Riley did his best writing while under the influence of alcohol. Perhaps it was thus he saw, quote, the ordered intermingling of the real and the dream, the mill above the river and the mist above the stream, close quote. Robert Burns wrote best when intoxicated, quote, for auld lang syne, my dear, we'll take a cup of kindness yet for auld lang syne, close quote. But let it be remembered that many such men have destroyed themselves in the end. Nature has prepared her own potions with which people may safely stimulate their minds so they vibrate on a plane that enables them to tune into fine and rare thoughts which come from no man knows where. No satisfactory substitute for nature stimulants has ever been found. It is a fact well known to psychologists that there is a very close relationship between sex desires and spiritual urges, a fact which accounts for the peculiar behavior of people who participate in the orgies known as religious revivals, common among the primitive types. The world is ruled and the destiny of civilization is established by the human emotions. People are influenced in their actions, not by reason so much as by feelings. The creative faculty of the mind is set into action entirely by emotions and not by cold reason. The most powerful of all human emotions is that of sex. There are other mind stimulants, some of which have been listed, but no one of them, nor all of them combined, can equal the driving power of sex. A mind stimulant is any influence which will either temporarily or permanently increase the vibrations of thought. The 10 major stimulants described are those most commonly resorted to. Through these sources, one may commune with infinite intelligence or enter at will the storehouse of the subconscious mind, either one's own or that of another person, a procedure which is all there is of genius. A teacher who has trained and directed the efforts of more than 30,000 salespeople made the astounding discovery that highly sexed men are the most efficient salesmen. The explanation is that the factor of personality known as personal magnetism is nothing more nor less than sex energy. Highly sexed people always have a plentiful supply of magnetism. Through cultivation and understanding, this vital force may be drawn upon and used to great advantage in the relationships between people. This energy may be communicated to others through the following media. Number one, the handshake. The touch of the hand indicates instantly the presence of magnetism or the lack of it. Two, the tone of voice. Magnetism or sex energy is the factor with which the voice may be colored or made musical and charming. Three, posture and carriage of the body. Highly sexed people move briskly and with grace and ease. Four, the vibrations of thought. Highly sexed people mix the emotion of sex with their thoughts or may do so at will and in that way may influence those around them. Five, body adornment. People who are highly sexed are usually very careful about their personal appearance. They usually select clothing of a style becoming to their personality, physique, complexion, etc. When employing salesmen, the more capable sales manager looks for the quality of personal magnetism as the first requirement of a salesman. People who lack sex energy will never become enthusiastic nor inspire others with enthusiasm. And enthusiasm is one of the most important requisites in salesmanship, no matter what one is selling. The public speaker, orator, preacher, lawyer, or salesman who is lacking in sex energy is a flop as far as being able to influence others is concerned. Couple with this the fact that most people can be influenced only through an appeal to their emotions, and you will understand the importance of sex energy as a part of the salesman's native ability. Master salesmen attain the status of mastery in selling because they either consciously or unconsciously transmute the energy of sex into sales enthusiasm. In this statement may be found a very practical suggestion as to the actual meaning of sex transmutation. The salesman who knows how to take his mind off of the subject of sex, right? So let's not confuse this, my friends. Let's not confuse this. Where he says mix the emotion of sex with their sales activity, he's not, he's not saying, hey, you should think of this while you're, you know, selling or, you know, I don't think that's what he's saying. This is what he says. He says the salesman who knows how to take his mind off of the subject of sex, okay, so it's off of it, and direct it in sales effort with as much enthusiasm and determination as he would apply to its original purpose, has acquired the art of sex transmutation, whether he knows it or not. So that paragraph, I think, is very telling in helping us understand this crazy chapter, right? The majority of salesmen who transmute their sex energy do so without being in the least aware of what they are doing or how they are doing it. Transmutation of sex energy calls for more willpower than the average person cares to use for this purpose. Those who find it difficult to summon willpower sufficient for transmutation may gradually acquire this ability. Though this requires willpower, the reward for the practice is more than worth the effort. The entire subject of sex is one with which the majority of people appear to be unpardonably ignorant. The urge of sex has been grossly misunderstood, slandered, and burlesqued by the ignorant and the evil-minded for so long that the very word sex is seldom used in polite society. Men and women who are known to be blessed, yes, blessed, with highly sexed natures are usually looked upon as being people who will bear watching. Instead of being called blessed, they are usually called cursed. Millions of people, even in this age of enlightenment, have inferiority complexes which they developed because of this false belief that a highly sexed nature is a curse. These statements of the virtue of sex energy should not be construed as justification for the libertine. The emotion of sex is a virtue only when it is used intelligently and with discrimination. It may be misused, and often is, to such an extent that it debases instead of enriches both body and mind. The better use of this power is the burden of this chapter. And my friends, I think that's a good place for us to stop here. I want to share one little thought with you. You know, yesterday we've been talking a little bit over the last few days about the importance of taking 30 minutes of your day and of my day and of all of our days to utilize the mind, right? To meditate, to pray, to think of the person you intend to become. I don't know what it is that we all do in this 30 minutes, but it sure seems to visualize. It sure seems that all of the authors, all of the great authors, Dr. Napoleon Hill, Charles Hanel, Maxwell Maltz, Psycho-Cybernetics, most all of the great authors and success teachers, they all talk about taking time to utilize the mind, right? To utilize the mind. And we've been talking about this, right? It's right in our self-confidence formula. I will spend 30 minutes a day visualizing the person I intend to become, right? Right in the self-confidence formula. So this is an area that I have some work to do, right? And I would venture to say that there's a lot of people on this call that have some work to do in this area. Well, anyways, yesterday, I decided I was going to do it, right? I was going to take action. I was going to do it. So I did my reading, right? My 30 minutes reading, and then I took 30 minutes to do this meditation, visualization, prayer, you know, whatever it is you do in that 30 minutes, right? And I'm learning, you know, I'm learning what is the best thing to do, right? I'm not an expert. But one of the things that one of my friends, one of our Think and Grow Rich practitioner family members told me a while back, her name is Mahara Tucker, and she's a professional hypnotherapist, right? She's had a huge practice and coached a lot of people. And she gave me a tip one time. She said, Paul, she says, one of the things you might try is light a candle, and in your meditation, excuse me, she said, stare at the candle flame. She says you'd be amazed at what this can do for your focus. You'd be amazed at what this can do for the, you know, calming your mind and calming your body. And so yesterday I did that, right? I did that. I pulled out a candle, I lit the flame, and I'm staring into this flame as I start this 30 minutes of meditation. I'm staring into this flame. And it's amazing what you can learn from simple little things like staring into a flame, right? I learned a lot of things. I was staring into this flame, and I started to notice things that I never noticed about a flame before, right? I started to notice there was like this blue part under it, then there was like this black circle inside of it. I started to notice, you know, all these kind of different things, and I thought, man, isn't it crazy, like, when we focus on our intention, when we focus on what we really want, isn't it interesting we start to notice things that weren't there before? Isn't it interesting how we notice, like, you know, things that are at our disposal, maybe in our company products or maybe in some of the training we've got? It's like all of a sudden all these things start to pop out that we didn't notice were there before. So that was one thing I learned. But the thing that I learned that relates to what we're talking about in this sex transmutation is I was looking at this flame, and I was thinking to myself, this is fire. Like, look at this potential fire, this white-hot burning fire that has all of this potential. I'm sitting here looking at this little candle flame, and I was thinking, this flame has the potential to engulf my desk, to engulf my office, to burn down my house. This flame has the potential to burn down a forest. This flame has the potential to cause massive destructive damage, right? But look at this little flame in this candle. It's harnessed. It's controlled. The flame is moving back and forth with grace, right? So it has all of this power, but it's harnessed and it's focused and it's doing its job, which yesterday was giving a little bit of light to my office, and it was inspiring thoughts, right? So I thought, when I was thinking about that, I thought about this sex transmutation, and I wonder if there are some similarities there, right? I wonder if this power of sex has the potential to burn down a house and burn down a forest and cause massive destruction and devastation in the lives of people and families the world over. Right? In the lives of people, destroy and burn down their chances of success, right? Scatter their creative energies in places where they'll end up being like Dr. Napoleon Hill talks about in Outwitting the Devil, you know, wasting their lives, dissipating their focus all over the place, right? And I wonder if this sex transmutation is like this candle flame, and it has the potential to be harnessed in a candle flame, to do good for the person using it. It has the power to be harnessed in a wood burning stove that can give warmth to the people that are getting warmth in the home, right? I wonder if there's some similarities there. So, wanted to share that with you guys. Wonder what you think. Excited to hear your thoughts as we jump into the mastermind portion of the call. Keep in mind, this is not a company-specific call, so please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, unless the leaders are part of our call. And also, couple of good rules I learned from Jim Rohn on communication: brevity and relevance. Be brief in your comments, as brief as you can in order to make your point, and please be relevant to what we're talking about here on the call today. One second.
Anthony from New Jersey.
Star 6. Hey, from New Jersey. Who is that?
This is Anthony. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, good morning, Anthony.
Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. Oh, man, this is exciting. Contain. The fire can destroy anything. But you're looking at this fire and you're analyzing it, and this fire has destroyed lives, has destroyed a lot of things. And when you said that, it's the same thing with human beings, because if we're not directed in the right way, we can destroy a lot of things if we're not contained. So, that's how the life goes. Contain yourself like you contain that fire, and you can just move on. Contain yourself. That's all I have. Thank you, Rich family.
Have a great day. Contain yourself.
Great stuff, Anthony. Great word. I love it. Contain. Thank you for that. Star
good
6
morning.
Who's next?
Good
hey,
morning.
Bill. Good morning.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, family. This is really great stuff. You know, all but about 4 years of my father's life, he was in direct sales, either as self-employed or as a business owner. And as I was growing up, of course, all our friends were salesmen. And it became, as I became of age, several of the guys that my dad worked with who were the most successful in sales were also unfaithful. And I always had trouble understanding that, and it's something my dad just really just couldn't stand. But now I see why. You know, it's because they just didn't channel that energy properly, even though they're great salesmen. But of course, you know, the classic case in our times is President Bill Clinton. I mean, he's the best salesman in the world. If you're ever in a meeting with him, he would even if you didn't like him, he'd charm your socks off. He was such a great salesman, and we knew what happened to him. So, you know, I'm really thankful that Dr. Hill talks about this, even though some people feel a little squeamish, because if that's us, we need to learn to channel that so it doesn't derail us. So thank you, Paul. Thank you, family. We'll talk to you next time.
Great examples, Bill. Thank you.
Coach,
good morning,
Chicago.
Good
morning, Paul.
All right. I heard someone from Chicago, then Elvira, then someone else. Chicago first. Go ahead.
Hey, Paul, it's Coach Terrence from Chicago. How you doing this morning? Good. I wanted to touch on what you said earlier in the beginning of the call about your experience this morning and doing things that people don't normally want to do. You do them anyway. I had a similar experience with a deck like yours. I was going back and forth with some family issues earlier this year that had taken me out of town, and there was an event in my hometown that I had planned to go to a couple of weeks in advance. But due to those family issues that took me out of town, I got back into town the day of the event, but I was just dog tired, and I felt like I was almost becoming sick as well. And something just kept gnawing at me, saying that you made this commitment. You need to honor this commitment. So I said I was going to go, and I went, and I made the intention that I was only going to be there for about 30 minutes, just long enough to honor my commitment. Well, at this networking event, the head of the networking event, she was doing a elevator pitch competition. And I wasn't going to sign up for it. Again, I was just doing my 30 minutes. I'm out of here. I honored my commitment. Well, a lot of people didn't sign up for it, so I signed up for it. And to make a long story short, I ended up winning the competition. And it was just a teaching moment for me to say what happens when you just continue to push through. When you continue to do what it is that you need to do, even when you don't feel like you're doing, you want to do it. The only person that would really be accountable to me not following through on that would have been me. But my inner voice convicted me so much to honor my commitment that I went through with it anyway. And as a result of it, it was a great story and a great story to share with other people just like you. So I always tell people, you never know what's going to happen just by showing up. So that's my story. I wanted to share that with you, Paul, and back to you.
Love it. Good on you, Coach Terrence. Great stuff. Elvira, good morning.
Well, good morning, Paul. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. This is an exciting chapter, and every time we read it, Paul, I get more excited about it because, you know, he says, Napoleon, Dr. Hill says at a certain, those 5 points, one of them is like, you know, he talks about the lack of sex energy. I believe nobody lacks it. We were born with an abundance of it because, as we discussed yesterday also, it's the creative energy that pushes us forward in life. It's serving life to create life. We don't lack it. It's squashed. It is suppressed in our early childhood. We've brought this up also before. The first 6 years of your life, in that period, your life for the rest of your life is actually determined. Are you being let free and encouraged, or are you being squashed and held back? And then, you know, that's what brings your life later in life, because you always go back to, you know, monkey see, monkey do. So we all have it. And, you know, again, we have we on the call here, we have the possibility to support so many people by just telling them about this movement call so they can just rekindle their sex energy or their creative energy for life. And that's what I'm doing by handing out the cards and inviting them on the calls. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Love it, Elvire. You're awesome. Thank you. There was someone else coming out after Elvire. Who's that? Star 6, who's next? Come on out. Hold on.
Hey, is it coming?
Star 6, come on out. I heard someone
hey,
jumping
Acoma.
Out. Hey, Acoma, what's up, man? Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. What's going on, Paul and the rest of the family? So I was thinking yesterday after the call, and I was thinking more about, sex transmutation. And I was thinking that it's actually, right now I shared yesterday like how I just entered, my ninth or tenth month of celibacy. And it's not been the most favorable thing I've ever done, but it's been a lot I've learned from it. And also realize that it's actually a lot that we can learn from our sex drive. And it's a lot that we can learn from our sex drive and apply and kind of sculpt our drive towards success after it. Because if you think about it, you know, our success drive, it's like relentless and it's consistent. Like it doesn't understand the concept of no. You know, it doesn't ever get bothered by the concept of no. Rather, you tell it day by day by day by day, no, no, no. Every single day, beginning of the day, it comes back. At the end of the day, it comes back. It doesn't start thinking that this sex thing is a scam or, oh, I guess since I didn't have it yesterday, I'm not going to even think about it today. Nope. Every single day, it comes back. It wants more. It's very consistent. It's very focused on what it wants. And no matter what, it's determined to get it. So I think that's a great way we could really sculpt our drive towards success after, because when we think about our success drive, it should be consistent. It should be relentless. It shouldn't be determined on how many no's that we get. It should just be focused on one thing, the one major definite purpose. And no matter what, we go after, we go after, we go after it. Even after a no, we continue to have that success drive. And also, another thing about the sex drive that we can learn from it, that it's grateful, but it's never content. You know, you might pacify your sex drive, or you might give it what it's want, but the very next day it's going to want more. You know, and I think that's the same thing that we should look at our success drive. Yeah, we can have some little success. You can get a sale here, a couple leads, and that'll pacify our success drive, but we should never be content. We should continue to just be pushing for more and more and more. And the last thing is just like our sex drive, everyone has it. No one lacks it, but we can't suppress it. And I feel a lot of people do that with their drive towards success. Like a lot of people have dreams, they have things they want to go for, but they suppress it. You know, they say like, well, I guess I'll just get a secure job and I'll just let my kids go after their dreams. No. I feel like all of us have that sex drive, and it's there, but we can suppress it, just like the ladies talked about how they did it for 14 years. But we can also, like our sex drive, we can just let it do what it wants to do and also tame it at the same time. So that was just something I wanted to share, the comparison that we can make between the sex drive and a success drive. Back to you, Paul.
Appreciate those thoughts, Acoma. Good stuff, man.
Star
6 is next.
Hey,
good morning.
Good morning. I'm so happy and grateful to be here with you guys today. I just wanted to say something. Just building off what the brother just said before. I think also it's a love thing. Once you get a little older and you're actually able to focus your love, you can focus your success. When you're young, with women and we're all over the place, and the sexual energy is all over the place. But once you find that one person who actually compliments your style, compliments you as a person, you can then focus your energy on so many other things, and it allows you to become able and present. With no money in my pocket, I've been able to be present, to be able to say when I wanted to say I was going to meet Paul Hutchins. When I had no money in my pocket, I met Paul. I was focused enough to get there. I've met many of the mentors that I wanted to meet just because that's what I wanted to do. My energy, my love, my passion was able to be subdued into something greater than just sex. And me and my family have experienced so many different great things. Even as we had our tests to give our testimonies, we've seen so many things along the way in this last year since we've given up chasing money and just chasing love and passion. I just wanted to share that with you guys. I love you guys. I hope you have a great day.
Hey, Pass, man, that was very profound, and I think you really hit the nail on the head. It's interesting, if you scan towards the end of chapter 11, if you guys and gals haven't read this before, the last five or six pages that we're going to cover tomorrow is all exactly about what Pass just mentioned, love, right? Love. So. Interesting. Star 6 is next.
Dan in Dunedin.
What's up, Dan?
Wow. Super duper duper trooper call. And I tell you, there's a pendulum of motion here. And love is a big part of it. And the flicker of that flame is a wonderful part of that pendulum of motion. And it is that daily desire for success that is the foundation for that love pendulum motion, because we want to be a success within. We want to be a success on the outside for those around us that love us. And that daily pendulum of motion is the key to our action, so that we don't have inaction through simple excuse actions that come within our other self. Find the true self in you. You'll find the love for all. And through that, you will harmonize in a pendulum of motion on a daily action. Back to you.
Dan, you are one of our poets on the call. I appreciate those thoughts, sir. Star 6 is next.
You did.
Frank. Frank from Delaware.
Frank, what's up, man?
How you doing, Paul? Good morning. Good morning to the whole family out there that's listening. I just wanted to comment on this particular chapter, because I remember having read this chapter before, and when we come to this chapter, everybody seems just a little bit taken aback and a little confused, and we even had some expressions of confusion yesterday, like, we don't know how to take this chapter. But I think that if you listen to the phone call for the last couple of days and you take a compendium of all the comments and everything that everybody has made, it really explains this chapter so much, and it actually is turning it around to the point that I believe that the next time we read this book very shortly and we get to this chapter again, it's going to be one of everybody's favorite chapters, because there is so much power in here and so much to be excited about, that this is where you get the fire from. The fire is from, it's ignited from your own passions and everything else. And before what seemed like a terrible thing, you realize this is it. This is what everything has been leading up to. This is where we invoke our power, and this is where we accomplish our purpose. So that makes it so much easier, that when you're putting this power towards your major definite purpose every day, and you realize that, this is a good thing. All these passions that I have, all I got to do is focus them, and you listen to everything that people said for the past couple of days, you realize this is a great thing that we're doing right now and that we're reading about. So it makes it exciting. So I really so appreciate this phone call. After the past couple of days, it just explained everything so nicely, and listening to everybody's comments. So thank you, everybody. Really appreciate that.
Frank, thank you. Great comments, my friend. Appreciate those.
Frank Grindrod from Massachusetts.
Who's that?
Frank Grindrod from Massachusetts.
Hey, Frank. Good morning.
Hey, Paul. Hey, Think and Grow Rich family. This is my first time, coming out here on the call live, and I'm really excited. I had a chance to meet you, Paul, in Miami, and your character, being able to spend time with you. And then every time I saw you afterwards, you said my name. You remembered me. and I appreciate your authenticity and what you've done for so many people on this call. So I just wanted to say that. And then as far as the chapter today, I recently had an opportunity to spend time down in Fort Lauderdale with Tony Robbins. And what happened was we took the metaphor of fire and we took the metaphor of our limiting beliefs. And those limiting beliefs, all the different things that you say you can't do because of whatever messages you got growing up that are a part of you, we took those limiting beliefs and we used fire as a metaphor. And we physically use fire as like the breakthrough point to be able to actually break through and actually turn your fear into power and walk across burning hot coals.
Hey,
as
Rick, let
a
me,
way
is that you? Let me clear the line. Hey, Frank, sorry about that. Star 6, come back. You're walking across burning fire. We're all anxious to hear what happened.
Can you hear me, Paul?
Frank? Yeah, that's better. Thank you.
Okay. So you're walking across these burning embers from, 1,800 to 2,000 degrees, with this focus of who the person you are going to become on the other side, or who you are going to become as you're walking, as you make that decision to walk on these burning hot coals that in your belief system you think might not be possible. And you break through that fear, and it's the fire that is the initiation. It's the fire that's the tunnel. It's the fire that's the bridge for you to become that other person on the other side. So that was a gift that I had, and I just wanted to share that because we were talking about fire and the power of fire, and I thought it would be really appropriate to share in this group. So thanks, everybody. Appreciate it. I'm not really sure how to mute this.
Hey, great, great. Thank you, Frank. Thank you for sharing that powerful experience with us, and appreciate the kind words. I remember you, man. It's awesome meeting you. So thanks for that. Star 6, who's next?
Hi, this is Denise from Philadelphia.
Hey, Denise, good morning.
Hi. I just wanted to remark about the sense of synchronicity that I'm really feeling with the Think and Grow Rich call and all of you. This is not the first time this has happened. Today, my blog post just happened to be titled Showing Up is Half the Battle. And then the first thing I hear when I get on the call today is you talking about showing up no matter how you feel. I scheduled my first Google Hangout along with a friend last weekend. And that day, the pipes burst in my kitchen, caused a flood in the bathroom. I found out my great aunt died. Well, needless to say, by the time that it was time for the hangout, I was really not feeling so well. But I went forward with it anyway and still ran it into all kinds of technical difficulties. But to make a long story short, we didn't give up. And I ended up doing my blog post about that today. And it's happened about two or three times that either I've done a blog post about something or just really had a question on my mind and came to the call and was able to receive, some answers to it. So I'd like to say thanks very much. Cool hanging out with you guys.
Denise, big round of applause for you. Wow, way to go. That's what making it happen is all about. So appreciate you sharing that. And I hope we're inspired. Gosh, I that line from the Bible, where two or three are gathered together, in my name there I will be in your midst, the mastermind principle. So I believe that we are inspired. So thanks for sharing that. Appreciate that. Star 6, who's next?
Shirley,
what's up? Shirley rocks.
Hey.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Just real quick, it's kind of funny. when I started this phone call last June, I kind of had a crush on somebody who I thought was really positive. Somebody was actually involved in this movement here. And I wanted to be one of those positive people like you guys that I'm talking to right now. You know, and I was like, and I was, but I didn't have confidence for it. So I started gaining confidence, and I started listening to this call, and I started just really putting my passion into myself, into being a better me, and doing the self-growth, and doing the, you know, self-confidence formula, and all this stuff. And in the meantime, you know, because I started to shine on my productivity and my goals and my desires, my enthusiasm was just like really just starting to shine. And in the meantime, I have attracted the most beautiful person to myself. Since last summer has been watching me, having a crush on me because of all my positive energy. And I just, the first time in years and years, I started, you know, like a really good, healthy relationship. And part of it is that sexual energy of positive self-image, you know, self-growth, and it's kind of cool, you know. So anyway, that's all I wanted to share, because I'm just kind of amazed by how my enthusiasm has drawn just such nice people into my world, you know. So anyway, that's it. Back to you. And, you know.
Shirley, that's not kind of cool. That is very cool. Keep up the great work. Appreciate you sharing that. Let me clear the lines here.
$100.
Star 6, who's next?
Virginia.
Yeah, who's out?
Elizabeth from Virginia.
Hey, Elizabeth, good morning.
Good morning, thank you, Grow Rich family. I've often thought that you've heard that statement, behind every great man, there's a woman. And I'm just trying to take it to another level. But this whole thing about sex transmutation, you think about a fine line drawn in the sand, there is a choice that all of us have to make. We can take the high road and be creative and imaginative in pushing our spouses on or our friends on, or we can take the other road, which is very basic and animal instinct and just doing something for the sake of doing it. So we have a choice in this sex transmutation to be the best that we can be and to help others be the best that they can be. So I just kind of thought of that, having had a marriage for 51 years, and they always said I was the one behind the husband, and likewise, we helped each other. So I just the thought that you all might be able to use. Back to you, Paul.
Love that, and no question. That is just so true, Elizabeth. Thank you for sharing that. I know that's the case in my situation for sure. Star 6, who's next?
This is Mark in Baltimore.
Mark, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. I just wanted to say focus your energy, because I have days when I don't feel like doing it, but just like you said, you have to stare into that candle and take action now. Plow through your temporary setbacks. Like Action Jackson said, get off the ground. And then get on top. That's all for today, Paul. Thank you so much.
Love it, Mark. You're awesome, man. Thank you. Star 6 is next. We got 2 minutes left.
Joe Dollar from Georgia.
Hey, Joe. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, and Grow Rich family. Thank you. I would just like to just mention the part about at the end of this, where it says, Napoleon Hill says, transmutation of sex energy calls for more willpower than the average person cares to use for this purpose. And this is making sure that we're all aware that it's not easy. It takes a lot of willpower, but we can do it if we believe we can. And also, I'd just like to let everybody know that if you go to YouTube and you type in Napoleon Hill, all of the audios, and not only audio, but video, you actually see Napoleon Hill talking about all of these things, going through Think and Grow Rich, love, success. And you can go and you'll go on YouTube, type in Napoleon Hill, and you'll pull up a whole bunch of stuff with him doing it himself, talking live. And I love you all, guys. Have a great day. Great, great, great day. I love you. Thank you.
Awesome. Joe, thank you, man. Appreciate those thoughts. Well, is that your real last name, Dollar?
Yes, sir.
Love it, man. How lucky are you? Your folks branded you well.
Yes. And that's one of the reasons I got with Think and Grow Rich. I was always told, hey, with a name like that, young man, you have to make a lot of money. So I was not attracted to a book entitled Think and Grow Rich.
Joe, thanks, man. And, hey, my friends, thanks for a great call. I love you guys. I believe in you. I believe that you, as Les Brown always says, I believe that you have greatness within you. And the road to developing that greatness, the road to reaching down and bringing that stuff out, it's not always easy, right? It's not always easy. So if I could just kind of reach through the phone, mentally, visually, spiritually, and give you a pat on the back and say wherever you're at right now, you're doing a great job, right? Because you're showing up. You're still in the game. You haven't quit. And that's what it takes. So keep up the good work, my friends. Get out there today. Take action in your business. Plow through temporary setbacks. And we'll see you tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Love you guys. Bye for now.